Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And just a little reminder that we're working on. In fact, I've got the prototype for our Year 2000 CD. It's going to be for sale soon. Our Best of the Phil Hendry Show. And the name of the CD this year, the number one rated Phil Hendry Show CD for the year 2000. Any chance we get to drive that guy with the comb-over bald spot nuts, we do. 1-800-449-8686. The 4 years after the fatal TWA Flight 800 plunged into the ocean in a fiery ball, the National Transportation Safety Board will ask investigators to explain what caused the fatal crash. All 230 passengers and the entire crew of TWA 800 were killed on July 16, 1996, when the plane crashed shortly after takeoff from New York's John Kennedy Airport into the Atlantic Ocean off the New York coast. With us, joining us this hour to talk about this crash and the theories that are floating around this, and we've heard everything. We've heard a stray missile from a naval test. We've heard some inexplicable debris. People naturally trot out the UFO theory. Some alien force decided to blow up an airliner because they wanted us to realize they were here. I don't know, but these are some of the things that you're hearing. Art Griego is with us. Art is a private pilot in Santa Monica. Art, you've heard all these theories, and there are others, some of which people subscribe to and some of which they don't, correct?
You have to understand, with a crash of this magnitude, Phil, there is a number of theories that are going to be afloat.
But the information that you have, you feel, is fairly unimpeachable?
I do have information that this might have been caused by members of the flight crew. By that, I mean members of the flight attendants. I don't know if you know what a competitive dieting is, but this is done, a thing called competitive dieting can be brutal, and competitive dieters can be brutal with each other.
What is competitive dieting?
Competitive dieting, as in losing weight.
Yeah, what is that?
Well, that's when two dieters challenge each other to lose a certain amount of weight and give themselves a timetable in which to do it. And in competitive dieting, a lot of personal jibes are given, a lot of trash talking is done as people challenge each other to lose weight. I have information that two members of the flight attendants on this plane were competitive dieters. We have reason to believe there were two on this flight, two of the flight attendants I know of. Some people I know have flown with them. There were comments thrown back and forth by these flight attendants about each other's weight, and this could have led to this crash.
Well, what are you saying? Are you saying that they somehow got into the cockpit?
No, nothing like that. This was a, I think, planned. A super secret copy of the cockpit recorder does exist, Phil, and on it you can hear the word either ass or fat ass. Something about the ass you have could bring the plane down. Now, we were able to filter this out at the University of Taylor, where we got the sonic equipment to filter this out.
You say on the cockpit recorder you hear flight attendants talking to each other. Why are they in the cockpit?
It's possible that, well, the cockpit recorder also records the conversation of flight attendants as well. So that in case there is a complaint concerning food service, in case meals are improperly delivered or heated, which could be life-threatening.
All right, so in other words, the cockpit recorder records the pilot and the flight attendants?
There is a galley recorder that records the flight attendants, and in case people are not getting the right cocktail. So what we had on this were two people.
All right, let me just jump in here. So two flight attendants were taunting each other about their weight?
Right, I'll pick it up. We have a transcribed. Someone says, with that ass, you could bring the plane down. The other one says, I'll show you. They started out by saying, your ass is so wide you can't get down the aisle. The other one said, well, with that ass, you could bring the plane down. Then the other flight attendant is heard to say, I'll show you. I'll see you on the other side of the River Styx. Then you hear...
What was that comment? I'll see you on the other side of the River Styx.
That is correct.
What is that?
As far as we can tell, that is a reference to hell, or I'll see you in hell.
And what is the River Styx?
That is a mythical river across which people who have died must travel. You hear one of them say, hey, where are you going with this? Where are you going with those matches? Then you hear the sound of the center fuel tank hatch being lifted in front of hundreds of passengers. You hear a lot of passengers saying things like, what the, or what's going on, and then you hear static. I believe this competitive dieting between women cost the lives of 230 people.
And well, what happened? You aren't telling me what actually happened.
I think that, like the postal workers of a few years ago who lost it under the strain and the pressure of working in a post office, I think these competitive dieters can lose it as well. I think one of the flight attendants went down into the fuselage and threw a lit book of matches into the fuel. And that's what we have.
Well, I'm absolutely stunned.
It's shocking.
I mean, I am stunned that you're telling me that TWA 800 was caused by two flight attendants giving each other crap about their fat asses. Is that what you're saying? Pardon my language, folks, but that
is the term used on the tape, yeah.
And so that one of them went to... Now, where is the center fuel tank?
The center fuel tank is what the MTSB indicates where the explosion came from. There is a hatch in the main passenger compartment that the flight attendants can rip the carpeting out and lift it up and then lower themselves down into the fuselage where a lot of the baggage is stored, a lot of pets, a pressurized area. There's also access to the fuel tank there. There's a hatch you can open up, and I believe she tossed a lit book of matches in there.
No, wait a minute. So the flight attendants ripped the carpeting up.
Correct.
Opened up a hatch. She went down, opened up the hatch to the main center fuel tank, and blew the plane out of the sky.
That is my understanding. You have to understand, I believe that the competitive dieting, Phil, is a case of cutting off your nose to spite your face, but when someone says that you could bring down a plane with your fat ass, I think if you know anything about weight, Phil, and dieting...
Well, I'm overweight, okay, but we're talking about something entirely different here.
Well, if you know anything about it, weight jokes are a constant in the aviation business. Flight attendants can lose their jobs. Pilots can be grounded, or what is called fat leave. Careers are wrecked. You don't make weight jokes on an airline. In prison, you don't bend over for the soap. If you're a Catholic, you don't eat meat on Friday. And if you're an airline employee, you don't make fat jokes. And that's what we think happened.
All right, Art Griego is my guest. He believes that the Flight 800 was somehow brought down by a flight attendant who was competitively dieting with another one and decided to bring it down with a book of lit matches into the center fuel tank. Our number is...
Phil, you got to understand that women get crazy about the size of their asses. And that...
No, I understand that. I'm having been around a lot of women. I don't know that they would do so to the point where they'd bring down a plane full of people. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Art Griego, who is a private pilot, about the crash of Flight 280. Now, you made a reference, Flight 800. Why am I saying 280? That's the number of people that were on board.
No, that's 230 were on board.
So where did I get 280?
I have no idea.
All right, so you made a reference that, like postal workers who go around the bend, competitive dieters can do the same thing.
That is correct. Competitive dieters are people who are... losing weight is very strenuous. Losing weight can be an extremely rigorous experience and a pressure-packed experience. And especially if you're a flight attendant who is expected to look a certain way, expected to have a certain kind of figure, because there are certain things expected of flight attendants. And so you want to look good, especially in a pair of pants. And they're dieting constantly, and I think that this one she flipped. And one more crack, I don't know how many cracks about her big butt or her big rear end she had to suffer through before she finally decided to take the whole thing and just ditch the plane. But that's what we're talking about here.
Now, you mentioned another thing. You said in prison you don't bend over for the soap, and on an airline you don't make fat jokes.
That's correct.
Why?
Because, again, if you're fat on an airliner, you could lose your career. You just don't do it. It's not done. You don't say, hey, fat ass, to a flight attendant. Because I can tell you right then and there, you'll lose your eyes. They'll go for your eyes first. Just because...
Why?
Just because it's something...
I mean, you're talking about a violent response.
Right, it is a violent thing. But if you say to a flight attendant on an airline, your ass is fat, she'll go directly for your eyes or for the artery in your neck.
All right, Art Griego is with us here. The carotid artery.
That is correct.
Art Griego is with us here. 1-800-449-8686 as we talk about the flight of TWA 800 and what he believes brought it down. A flight attendant went down and threw a lit book of matches into the gas tank. And when you think of the inexplicable, not inexplicable, but the explanations that not everybody is buying that have been given surrounding this this horrible tragedy, I guess it's as good as anything else. 1-800-449-8686. The NTSB is asking investigators to explain that fatal crash. They do not have an explanation. They want one. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Art Griego. He's a private pilot, about the crash of TWA Flight 800. The theory goes, at least according to Art. Now, there's theories about the plane being brought down by a missile from the United States Navy.
Well, you know, they always want to come up with some theory, some conspiracy theory, Phil. But this is a bona fide threat. I happen to know of a couple of these flight attendants. I've seen them. They're not kidding. A lot of these women have got to lose some weight. You've got a situation right now with a lot of flight attendants where they are going into this competitive dieting to try to drop as much weight as they possibly can so that we have flight attendants that look good, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, but you're saying they're competitive dieting. I don't know what this competitive dieting is.
Well, it's the latest thing that's going on in America. Women challenge each other.
Yeah, I understand that. But that it was going on in an airline with two flight attendants to the point where one of them flipped her lid.
Yeah, because they taunt each other, and they drive each other nuts. And they call each other fat ass, or they call each other, a bovine or something like that. She went nuts.
She went nuts, and she went down, and she tossed a lit book of matches.
Well, all we hear on the tape, Phil, is where are you going with those matches? And
tell me that you have the transcript of the tape there.
Yes.
Give it to me again.
First of all, I have the transcript of the flight recorder, and any Nimrod can tell by listening to the tape that some crazy broad, probably on the rag, blew the plane up. And
well, just give me, instead of your interpretation...
Well, here's what it is. One of them says, with that ass, you could bring the plane down. The other one says, I'll show you. I'll see you on the other side of the River Styx. You then hear one of them say, hey, where are you going with those matches? Then the sound of the center fuel tank hatch being lifted in front of probably hundreds of frightened passengers. And
what are the passengers doing when you've got a flight attendant? See, I just don't buy it. If a flight attendant is ripping the carpeting up, ripping up a hatch from the floor, wants to go down and get into the gas tank of a jet. What kind of jet was this?
It was a 747. So it's got a big tank. And
there's a hatch?
No, well, there's a cap. So she unscrewed the gas cap.
She unscrewed the gas cap and tossed a lit book of matches in there. What do you mean by a gas cap?
Where they fill the... I don't know what you're understanding.
So they're filling this thing up with a nozzle?
Yeah.
From where?
From the gas... I don't know what you're asking me.
What are you telling me? They fuel up a 747 with a gas nozzle from what? From a gas pump?
Yes.
At the airport?
Yes.
Okay, so then what?
I mean, I'm giving you the information, Phil, as it exists. If you've got some other information...
No, I'm dumbfounded. So she's now unscrewed the gas cap.
Yeah, I believe that she lit the matches and then tossed them in there.
And the plane blows up.
And the plane blows up because two fat asses. Now, here is and I don't know if they were fat asses or not. I know someone who knew the flight attendants on this flight. A couple of them looked pretty good. I mean, before the thing blew up. I don't know.
I get it.
Okay.
Afterwards, we don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't want to know. But I will tell you this much, that the plane was flying outward bound. The flight attendants got up to begin the drink service. And what I propose is a very simple solution to this problem. We have an end to this kind of competitive dieting among flight attendants, an end to a concentration of what flight attendants look like, and to begin to create an atmosphere where flight attendants can operate free of being called fat ass or something like that. Now, I've been on airliners. I have, and we all have, had to suffer through some flight attendant with a big rear end pulling a drink cart down the aisle. She brushes against your leg as it's folded, or you're trying. There's not enough seats and not enough space in the coach seats to begin with. So when a flight attendant with a big ass pulling a drink cart hits your leg, hits your head when you're trying to sleep, has it happened to you?
Well, I've had people in the aisle bump me, yeah.
All right. And I mean,
but I've never had a fat-ass flight attendant knock my head back into the seat. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, okay, at least to that extent that you're talking about.
Well, I'm proposing that they eliminate this kind of weight situation with these flight attendants.
All right, Art Griego on the line with us, 1-800-449-8686, talking about the flight of TWA 800 being brought down by two competitive dieting flight attendants who tossed a lit book of matches into a gas tank after she'd been called fat ass one too many times. Now, you're saying that the flight attendants who bring drink carts down the center aisle of an airplane are occasionally bumping people's heads back into the seat.
That is correct.
I propose that most of the time that happens as the result of the drink cart itself, not any part of the flight attendant's body.
Well, you that may be your experience, but most of the complaints when people get off the plane are that some flight attendants' big rear end knock their head back into the center of a coach seat. Most people can't get any sleep on a coach seat, so they have to turn their head to one side or the other. Generally, you'll find that your head is hanging halfway out in the aisle. What do you think happens?
Well, let's just wait a second. If a flight attendant's rear end is about, what is she, how tall is she?
You got some big ones.
And yeah, a 7 foot tall flight attendant's ass. I'm sorry, man.
Well, you're sorry. People died, Phil, on June 16th of 1996 because some flight attendants got into each other's faces about the size of their rear ends. 230 people aren't with us.
Well, I think that you're going to have to prove that claim before you make it. I mean, and you're not releasing. Do you know who these people are?
I would want to say.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what? It sounds like a big fat lawsuit to me. 1-800-449-8686 is our number on the Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego talking about, and I'm not saying that, you know, you could get sued, but it sounds to me like you probably would.
It doesn't sound like I could get sued, but you think I probably would. That makes a lot of sense. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah. I think I'm listening to WAI now, 1200 KC. I believe that's what it is.
Roger.
Guy here, he's obviously got a heart for stewardesses, whether they got fat asses or not. This guy's a nut.
I think you introduced him as being
some kind of a private pilot.
I am a private pilot.
And I can tell you this, I've seen a lot of these kind of guys that, well, they're always smarter than the people that are doing it.
Well,
know, especially passengers.
I fly for a living, sir, so I know. I fly
hey, well,
for
look, y'all have a good day, and I'm all
right. Nothing
let you
is
go.
More revolting than
just,
as you're, if you're
just,
waiting for
just,
a rum and coke.
I just
haven't
been able to quit laughing here for about the last half hour.
Well, if you're looking down
see
the aisle,
guys,
you see
have
an
good
ass
one.
Ass
I really enjoy your show.
Slowly making its way down the aisle towards you. It's pretty rough, I can tell you that.
Say that again? I couldn't hear you for the other guy.
I couldn't hear the other guy for you.
Well, what did you say?
Just if you're looking down the aisle at an ass the size of Cuba.
Okay, I got it. 1-800-449-8686. Talking here to Art Griego. That the TWA 800 jet was brought down by two fat ass stewardesses giving each other crap. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Henry Show. Turn his... Man, turn that guy's phone off. 1-800-449-8686. What brought down TWA 800? The NTSB wants to know. Art Griego is a private pilot. There are all kinds of theories, as you know. One having to do with an errant missile from a Navy test. One having to do with some kind of a spontaneous explosion due to the wiring or the electrical system. One having to do with terrorism. Art Griego's, your theory falls more along the spontaneous explosion caused by a flight attendant who got upset with somebody calling her a fat ass, and you say this is on the galley recorder.
That is correct, yeah. There is a recorder for the flight deck, and there's a recorder for the galley.
That they listen to in case somebody blew someone's drink order.
That's my understanding.
All right, here is Portland on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I'm the caller from Portland. The comment I've got is, am I hearing that the flight attendant opened a valve or a hatch in the aisleway of the main cabin?
No, she went down below.
She went down where? She
down
go in the elevator in the galley and go down?
No, she went down some stairs in the center hatch that you open up to go down into the fuselage.
And where is that on the plane?
That's in the aisle.
Where the passengers are sitting?
Yes, sir. Where you have to tear the carpeting up.
And they actually put fuel in there?
No, they put the fuel in. There's a gas cap on the tank.
Well, the fueling is all done from outside the plane.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's correct. But the tank is inside the plane, obviously.
And there would, and you're saying there would be access to that tank from a latch door that the attendant could get to from the main cabin?
That's true.
I don't believe that.
Well,
the Boeing 747?
You should read up on flying planes and stuff, because that's what I do.
Well, you can go to Boeing's website and you can look at a diagram
okay.
of the
Maybe
plane.
Maybe you can, but I fly. Have you been in an airplane?
I just got off one. Matter of fact, I'm going back to the Portland airport right now.
You should check it out.
On a 747?
Yeah.
And
ask them to show you the... It's an auxiliary cap used in emergencies, but ask them to show it to you when you get on the plane.
And it's right in the cabin.
Yeah, right down. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, anyway, thank you, sir, for your call. Here is Detroit on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, turn your radio down, please.
Yes, sir, it's down. All right, what station, if this gentleman has made these statements, I'd like to know, first of all, what station on this airplane is this hatch located?
It's down in the, where the passengers sit.
Well, what is the story about an auxiliary fuel tank? I'm a pilot.
Right.
I'm not a private pilot. Corporate pilot.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell you
fly,
you are so full of it.
You
this
fly
is
jets.
Irresponsible reporting.
You fly jets?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but you don't fly big jets.
I fly corporate jets, sir, and I believe me, I know all about that.
You know
you're,
about but
you're
do you know
totally
about
incorrect.
Do you know about flight attendants?
I'll tell you. There is no accessibility
what
to
about
a fuel
a flight
tank
attendant?
From the don't interrupt me, please.
All
There's
right.
no accessibility to the fuel tank from the cabin where the passengers sit, number one. Number two, even if there was, there certainly isn't a gas cap like you're referring to, which there isn't. Fuel tanks are sealed. Fuel tanks are not accessible unless you have... Don't interrupt me, just let me finish.
How do they put the fuel in?
Let me finish.
How do they put the fuel in?
The fuel tanks are only accessible from the exterior of the aircraft, number one. There are access plates to the fuel tanks. They require at least 20 screws, maybe 50, to get access to the plane.
All right, okay, but what about
and
the other thing? What about the diets?
They're sealed.
What about
they
the
are
flight
sealed.
Attendants? What about the flight attendants being on a diet?
That's not what you said. I want you to explain how they got to that fuel tank. You're bouncing
well,
around.
Somebody went nuts.
You are so irresponsible.
I think someone went nuts.
You're not explaining
well, this guy
the fuel
is saying,
tank, sir.
The 747 that went down was a new prototype. It had a door to the
it
lower fuselage.
It was a new prototype.
Yes, it
Don't
was.
Give me. What was the serial number, sir?
Hold on. I'll check that.
Now, while you're at it, tell me what station that fuel tank access panel was.
I'm checking that as
I
well. But while
you
I'm checking,
it.
While I'm checking that, you need to understand this is a new auxiliary tank that they put on these 747s, and that two food-crazed flight attendants blew that plane up.
Well, you're a loose cannon because you're not telling.
If you start mentioning anybody's names, yeah, that's exactly right.
Station, I got it. Station 683, serial number 8468274 63.
You got that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Santa Clarita on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. This guy is just off of his rocker. First of all, you mean to tell me that a whole entire flight crew is going to sit and watch one of their colleagues lose their mind and then casually watch her lift up the rug and stick matches down there to blow a plane up? Come on! They wouldn't try to stop her.
Oh, really?
Or a passenger wouldn't try to stop her.
Ma'am, life is not a TV show. Life isn't a movie, okay?
Sir, wait a minute. I was a flight attendant for 5 years, okay?
Oh, that's fine.
And,
then you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. There is pressure.
No, I don't understand, but let me tell you something. If one of our members
Isn't there pressure for you to keep your weight off? They couldn't.
No, let me tell you something.
And the other thing is, I want to ask you a question.
For the first 6 months while you were on probation.
They couldn't get a hold of her because her ass was so big. This woman was literally.
That has nothing to do with it.
No, I am saying that the flight.
Regardless.
The crew couldn't restrain her.
Because she was so big.
Yes.
Sir, please.
Well,
come on.
If she was
so big, you mean to tell me other flight attendants wouldn't say to a passenger, please, we need your help? Come on. That's ridiculous.
I really believe, and people that I've talked to feel the same way, that they all thought this woman who had the weight problem was a real B-I-T-C-H, if you'll pardon my language. And she probably
would take on the whole entire plane?
Not the whole plane, but she could take on. And she went down to the suck gas. They thought that she had gone down there to suck gas fumes. She was a loose cannon. There's
you
no doubt.
You have not a clue what
no,
you're
ma'am.
Talking about.
She was a loose cannon.
It doesn't
Wait a minute.
Matter. She
you're
was,
telling
well,
me.
What if she was? The flight crew would not have let it happen. There's people that go berserk on planes every single day, and the flight attendants restrain them, or the, and if they can't, they get somebody
attendant.
To help them. And the
but when's the last
the
time you heard of a flight attendant?
The pilots would have turned the plane around if something that horrific was happening.
How do we know
plane?
They were not? We're trying. Look, when was the last time you had to restrain a flight attendant, especially one that of that size?
Was this a woman or a man?
What size? What was she? 2,000 pounds? I mean, come on.
They were giving each other all kinds of trouble about having big rear ends.
Sir, let me tell you something.
Okay,
you only have a weight restriction until you are off probation, and then you're pretty much a free agent because the union
right.
will protect you.
Right.
And most of the women that are off probation and are as large as you're saying have been flying for quite a few years and
right.
probably are the most stable women you've ever met because their mothers,
well, not if they're competitive
what?
Dieters. Competitive dieters. I think they all wanted her dead. She was making all of the passengers sick because of the size of her rear end, and I think that there was a problem. You can laugh if you want.
They're all going to say, okay, we're sick of her, so
people
are dead,
ma'am.
Let her kill us.
All right.
230 people are dead, Phil, and this lady's laughing.
I'm not laughing at that. Your idea.
All right,
I can't even imagine this.
Thank you for your call. Now, hold on for a second. You're saying that the woman had such a big rear end, the other flight attendants couldn't restrain her.
She was like, first of all, you got a center of gravity that's enormous. You're trying to get your arms around what? Thighs, legs, ass? How are you going to stop her? She's intent on going below and getting herself a lung full of gas fumes.
What was she doing? Sniffing gas? Or was she putting lit matches in the... What are you telling me?
I'm saying they had a problem on that plane. That's all I'm saying.
Really? The NTSB needs your phone call. We know they had a problem on that plane. That's the obvious thing. What caused it? Bennington on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, my question is, how often this pilot, this professional pilot, flies from JFK, you know, headed east, because from JFK to East Mauritius, where the plane went down,
right.
It's like 5 minutes. They wouldn't even be out of their seats with a drink cart yet.
They wouldn't have made
their ascent.
They didn't have the drink cart out, but they were getting
up to
go. You said
they had a drink cart out.
No, I said in cases where they had the drink cart. I think in this situation, they were on their way.
How was she even out of her seat?
They were getting out of their seat.
In until they reached their, you know, the...
They were getting out of their seat, and then one of them got up first.
Now, you said the drink cart.
I think you might have misunderstood me.
You said the galley recording said that they were getting the drinks in the galley for the drink cart.
Right.
They wouldn't have even been out of their seats because they weren't 4 or 5 minutes from JFK.
One of them was getting up. The other one looked to the left.
They don't get
saw
up. They
rear end.
Until they're at a certain altitude, and that wasn't it.
The rear end
you
was
don't
in
fly
her
out of JFK very often.
The rear end was in her face, and she said, "Will you get
you
a load
sound
of that
like
big
a
rear
former
end?"
Disc jockey who's doing freelance right now.
Well, maybe she didn't want to kill everybody. Maybe she went to blow to suck gas fumes, and when she went down there, she let a cigarette and boom.
Why couldn't it have been a passenger? I mean,
that's true. It could have
been
a passenger.
It could have been a male passenger.
But
with
why
a
do we hear
rear
on
end.
Why do we hear on the galley tape one of them saying something about?
Well,
your
I think
ass
you're the only one in the world
down.
Who's heard this galley tape.
The tape says what?
Your ass could bring a plane down. And she says, I'll show you how I can bring a plane down. And that's when you hear...
So where do we get a copy of this galley tape that you're the only one in the world that's heard?
I have it. I can't
And where'd
it
you
available.
Get it? Where'd you get it?
I'm sorry, I can't give you that information.
Oh, you're so full of it.
If you want to
and what kind of jet do you fly?
Do you want to hear
you
the
sound
tape?
Like you've been sniffing more of this fuel than anybody else.
Do you want to hear the tape or don't you?
Sure, let's hear it.
Okay, there is a handling charge. That's all I'm saying.
Well, wait a second.
I have the tape still.
Well, if you're so hell-bent on making people understand about these crazy D-I-T-C-H's, why don't you just play it for the good of mankind to protect themselves from these enormous, fat-ass women?
I'll tell you what. I'll let you do that for $5. You send me $5, I'll send you the tape. And then you can release it to the media.
No, I'm not the one making a fool of myself. I'm not having to prove anything. You're the one making
you
all these
the
allegations.
Tape. You said you want to hear the tape.
Wait a minute. You're going to sell her the tape for $5?
There's a handling charge, yes. What are you coming down on me for? I'm just...
Well, what are you doing here, man? Are you running a scam on us? Have you got this tape or have you not?
Yes, I do.
Then play it.
All right. What you're going to... Okay, fine. I'll play it.
Now listen. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Here it is.
Now, what are we hearing here?
So what you're hearing right here is the pilot interacting. You're hearing two channels, the pilot's channel and the galley channel.
Perfect, roger.
Get a load of the fat ass!
It's...
Hello?
That's it.
That's it. What I heard was get a load of the fat ass, and then everything went dark.
There you go.
I want that tape.
$5.
Have you got $5, Craig? Can I send it to you in cash?
Check or money order.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the Phil Hendry Show.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out in the
from Dodger Stadium, it's time for Dodger Baseball. Bye, everybody. This is Rick Mundy along with Ross Porter. The Dodgers are trying to get up off the mat and try to go somewhere in the National League West, which doesn't look very likely. The Dodgers, who are probably having one of the big blown seasons in recent memory, are 9 games out of first place in the National League Western Division. And as I try to artificially inflect my voice, let's turn it over now to Ross Porter, a guy who wishes he was the number one voice of the Dodgers, but this is going to be the time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rick. This is Ross Porter, and welcome to Dodger Baseball. Years ago, when I applied for the job of Dodger broadcaster, I never thought that I'd sit here some 20 years later and take a look at a ball club that stinks so thoroughly, so corrosively, and so fragrantly that I can hardly abide the telling. The Dodgers of the year 2000 blow and blow yet again. So come on out to Dodger Stadium to enjoy Dodger baseball, the best bargain in town.
All right, let's get to the lineups now. And in this big ball game, the Dodgers are going to try to get up off the mat and see if they can't win one. The Dodgers desperately in need of a victory, desperately in need of some kind of sustenance here on their way to this year 2000 pennant. And so they've decided to play this exhibition game against a team of one-legged female celebrities.
That's right. And here is the lineup for the one-legged female celebrities at first base and pitching and playing right field. Toadie Fields.
Hey.
Catching is that chick that Paul McCartney is dating.
Yay.
In center field, the one-legged woman who stands in the wind named Eileen.
Hey.
Also playing third base and pitching, you didn't know this because she had diabetes at the end of her life, Ella Fitzgerald had one leg very briefly.
Hey.
And finally, in center field and batting cleanup, Adrian Alpert, the chick who lost her leg in that electrocution deal.
All right, and here are the Dodger lineup. Tom Goodwin in center field, Mark Grzelcyk at second base, Gary Sheffield in left field, Sean Grau, who cares? And now with the play-by-play, here's Ross Porter. Ross?
That's right, this is Ross Porter.
Can I just ask you to maybe put that Irish rye away for two innings at least?
That's right.
And the Grand Marnier, too.
I'm not drinking Grand Marnier.
Then why's your tongue green? That's my business. But that leprechaun isn't just for show.
Oh, okay.
All right. This is Dodger baseball as the Dodgers try to get up off the mat against a team of one-legged female celebrities. I got to tell you something right now. This is brilliant strategy on the part of Davey Johnson. They desperately need a win to keep these fans coming to the turnstiles. So what better team to play than a team of women who only have one leg, and there's only five of them. There's 25 Dodgers. They can't lose. All right, so on the mound is Jeff Shaw. Jeff Shaw on the mound for the Dodgers. He'll be facing Toadie Fields. Toadie Fields, she's batting a respectable 302. Toadie Fields only has one leg, weighs 220 pounds, and is a female comedian. Here's the windup and the pitch. You got to be putting me on. It's a line shot into center field. Base hit. Oh, come on. Bull crap. So how about that? Toadie Fields touches up Jeff Shaw early. And it's into center field as Gary Sheffield picks it up. Sheffield looks stunned. All the black is drained from his face.
I'll tell you, some of those silver caps fell off of Sheff's teeth out there.
Do you know him well enough to call him Sheff?
No, but...
All right, here's the second batter. I can't believe that. These are women with one leg. Come on! All right, so Davey Johnson is out on the mound, and we'll take time out now. Davey Johnson can't believe it. So Davey's out on the mound. He's going to talk to Jeff Shaw as Toadie Fields hobbles at first base. I'd like to say she went in standing up, but this game is brought to you by Farmer Frank Sausages, perfect for cramming right up your crack. Farmer Frank.
Take me out to the ball game.
And here is the next batter. That chick that's dating Paul McCartney.
Hey.
Here she is, the chick dating Paul McCartney, only one leg. Trying to sort of position herself there at home plate. She's sort of leaning one way or the other. She's only got one leg, so she's got to try to balance herself. Here's one at the first pitch from Shaw. Just inside, ball one. Jeff Shaw in his last outing had a respectable appearance. Well, I wasn't really watching the game. Has to do with that green tongue.
Yeah, that green tongue. We did see the leprechaun out in the parking lot.
I understand. Here's the windup, the next pitch. Swung on. There's a line shot down the third base line. And try to leg this thing out. And I do mean leg it out. Toadie Fields is going to second base. Rowdy second, and she'll hold up there. So, first Toadie Fields, and now this one-legged chick dating Paul McCartney. We'll be back. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.